My, what a present God gave us when He gave us His Son. And I hope that all of us realize at this Christmas time, what it's really all about is not the presents we give or receive, but it's the present we've already been given, the present of the Son of God. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you turn to the book of St. Luke, chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8, let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Father, we thank you for this season of the year that we celebrate the birthday of our Savior. Thank you, Lord, for the good songs that we've heard, the music by the children, the young people. Lord, we want to thank you this morning that you have given to us this opportunity to have eternal life through Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father, that you'd use this service to speak to some heart. Lord, it would be wonderful if some soul would receive Jesus this morning and be saved right here at Christmas time. Oh, God, I know that you're still in the saving business. And, Lord, I know that at Christmas time would be a wonderful time for somebody to give their heart to the Lord, receive the gift that God gave us in His Son. Jesus, I know, I read in your word that you said, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice, open the door, I'll come in. May it be so in this day, in Jesus' name, amen. I would like to speak for a few minutes this morning on, maybe instead of a statement, I should make it a question. Peace on earth? Isn't this what the angel announced to the angels, sang in the heavens to the shepherds on the hillside? Saying to them, verse 14, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. According to the song of the angels, the birth of Jesus would bring peace on earth. The announcement really seems to clash with reality. The reality of historical events and with the words of Jesus himself, because later on Jesus will declare that as a result of his coming, families would be divided, there would be passionate opinions about Christ in families, differing passionate opinions about Jesus within families that would divide families. He said, Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. He said, I'm come to set a man at variance against his father, the daughter against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Then Jesus described a very violent life for his disciples in Matthew 10, 21 and 22. He said, and the brother shall deliver up the brother to death. Y'all listen to this now. The brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. So Jesus described a life that doesn't sound much like peace. And it would be due to the fact of passionate opposing opinions about Jesus, even within families. Furthermore, in describing to his disciples the character of the last days, Jesus warned and said, "Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom." Jesus said this would characterize the last days: war, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. So in these words of Jesus himself that I read to you, he's predicting strife between blood relatives, that is, between earth's closest relations. And he also predicted an ongoing conflict between nations and kingdoms. How does this square with the angel's announcement at the coming of Jesus, peace on earth? All of us are aware of how true Christ's predictions have been. Family strife will wreck Christmas for a lot of families this very Christmas. I'm telling you, perhaps many of us right here will suffer family strife this very Christmas. And many times, the root of the strife is the difference in people's thoughts and attitudes about Jesus, the very one that we're celebrating his coming into the world. We're also very much aware this morning that we are in a war, in fact, two wars, right here in the United States of America, fighting on two fronts, in Iraq and Afghanistan. Conflicts rage in various parts of the world this morning. These conflicts have touched families right here in this church. Jerry's son has been in Iraq. Lori's brother, my daughter-in-law Lori, her brother has been in Iraq. Brother Garland and Sister Jeanette's grandson is in Iraq right now. And perhaps others will be going. So our families right here in this church have been touched by the wars that are going on presently in this world. And you can add to all of that the religious strife in the world, church splits and power struggles in local churches and denominations, and political strife divides our own nation. Strife between blue states and red states, strife between liberal and conservatives, Democrats and Republicans. And it just seems to get worse all the time. So when we consider the present conditions in the world, it seems like the words of the angels are very hollow. Peace on earth. Some of you may have heard of Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. He wrote a poem during the Civil War and described his despair over the words of the angels. Tens of thousands of our nation's finest young men were dying on the battlefield. 600,000 of them would be killed before it was over with. Bloodiest war this nation has ever fought. His own son had just recently been seriously wounded in battle in the Civil War. And he wrote a poem that was later made into a Christmas carol. "I heard the bells on Christmas Day. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and mild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I thought how, as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." There are two stanzas that are not included in our hymn book. They go like this: "Then from each black accursed mouth the cannon thundered in the south, and with the sound the carols drowned of peace on earth, goodwill to men. It was if an earthquake rent the hearthstone of a continent, and made forlorn the households born of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And then we pick up a stanza that is in our books. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. We can all relate to Longfellow's despair. Will there ever be peace on earth? How do we get there from here? And what could rid the world of hate and strife? Who can save us from this strife and hatred and war that continues in our world today? Well, let's look again at what those herald angels said. They said, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David. What was it? A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Here is God's answer to the sin and strife of this world. Unto you is born a Savior. Somebody wrote this. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent us a Savior. Hallelujah. Unto you is born in Bethlehem a Savior. That is what the world needed. It needed a Savior. A Savior from the sin. A Savior from the strife. A Savior from the war. That's what we needed, a Savior. Many people feel like Christ failed in his mission. I've encountered some. It felt like Longfellow, oh, there is no peace on earth. Some religious cults with their roots in Eastern religions actually teach that their leaders have been raised up to finish what Jesus failed to do. I've met some of them and talked with them. Jesus failed, they said, but our leader is going to finish what Jesus failed to do. But you know, amidst all of the warring crowds of this earth, amidst all of those involved in strife, there are some people who testify to experiencing peace. Paul said in Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Listen to this. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Through Jesus, some have peace. Those who have believed on Him and trusted in Him, they have peace. Great peace. Wonderful peace that comes through knowing Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. In a world of turmoil, in a world of strife, in a world full of adversaries, there is a peace that the world cannot disturb. As the song says, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it from me. It's found in my relationship with Jesus Christ. He's the Prince of Peace, and you can have peace in your heart through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Everywhere that Jesus is given His rightful place, in our hearts, in our home, in our assemblies, He is the Prince of Peace. If there's strife in your home, I promise you, Jesus is the answer. If there's strife in the house of God, Jesus is the answer. When everybody receives Him and acknowledges Him as their Lord, He brings peace. Bret Hart, who was a famous American author, wrote a story, How Christmas Came to Roaring Camp. A mining camp, he said his story, in a mining camp in the lawless West. Roaring Camp had a bad reputation, gambling, fighting, killing, common in that camp. He said to die a natural death at the camp was to die a violent death on the wrong end of a pistol. Only one woman at the camp, her name was Cherokee Sal. She was of low repute, expecting a child. The baby was born, she died. The miners were left with a newborn baby and nobody to take care of it. So they decided, this baby belongs to this camp, and we're going to do our best for it. So at first, the only thing they had was to lay the baby on some rags in a box. But they decided that wasn't good enough for this baby. So they sent a man to go buy a rosewood cradle, the best that money could buy. He rode 80 miles on a mule, brought back a rosewood cradle, put that baby in the cradle. But when they got the baby in the new cradle and looked at the old rags, they said, these rags won't do for this baby. We've got to have something better than that. So they sent the man back to town, told him to buy the finest cloth he could find, brought back the finest white cloth he could find, put that white cloth in that cradle and laid that baby on that white cloth. Now then they got the baby in the new cradle, got the baby lying on white cloth. They look around, they see that baby in the clean white cloth and the floor looks so dirty. They ain't cleaned it in no telling how long. They say, we can't have this. So they start cleaning the floor and getting the floor clean. Get the floor clean, look at the wall, and say, hey, these walls are dirty. We can't have this. So they start cleaning the walls, paint the ceiling, fix the windows, start getting things spiffed up around the camp. That little baby lying in that new cradle on that white cloth. We got to fix this camp up. So they put up curtains, and quietness came on that camp because, you know, the baby had to take naps and go to sleep. And so Roaring Camp became a quiet place. Men started doing better. And they took the baby to the mine with them. But, you know, it was a dusty, dirty place. They decided the baby deserved something better than that. So they planted a garden of flowers and set the baby in the garden of flowers and spiffed up the place around the mine. It's amazing what kind of changes that little baby brought in Roaring Camp. The men decided, you know, baby looked so clean and so nice, and they'd keep that baby clean, and they decided to get clean themselves. So they started buying soap and taking baths and bought some nicer clothes to wear and started combing the hair. And things really started looking up around Roaring Camp because a baby was born and things had to be done better for that baby. It was transformed the camp. Well, that's just a fictional story, but it's an allegory. How Christmas came to Roaring Camp. And it's an allegory of the transformation that one baby made that was born 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. My, what a change that baby made in hearts, and lives, and families all over this world. And I want to tell you, that baby's work is not over with yet. He's still changing lives. He's still changing families. He's still changing communities. That baby born in Bethlehem came to bring peace on earth. And that peace starts inside of you when you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. Peace is planted in your soul, begins to work out in your life and be demonstrated to people around you. The reason for strife in the world is because there's strife in men's hearts. There'll never be peace in the world until there's peace in men's hearts. And we know that someday, Someday, there will be peace on earth. All over this earth, there will be peace. And it will come about through this child that was born almost 2,000 years ago. The prophet Micah prophesied about the day that peace will fill the earth. I remember this passage of scripture being read at Camp David by three men, President Jimmy Carter, Menachem Begin of Israel, and Anwar Sadat of Egypt, when Egypt and Israel made their peace compact at Camp David during the administration of President Jimmy Carter. I was listening on the radio. Every one of them read this passage of Scripture. They were too far ahead to read this passage, but it's going to happen. And here's what the prophet said concerning the nations at Christ's return to the earth. They shall beat their swords into plowshares. They shall beat their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation. Neither shall they learn war anymore. There is coming a day, brother and sister, when Jesus returns to this earth. The Prince of Peace is going to bring peace all over this earth. And nations will not lift up a sword against nation, and neither shall they learn war anymore. Longfellow didn't end his poem in despair. His next stanza reads like this: Then peal the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor does he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill toward men. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. God said it. His Son came to bring it to pass. His work is not over, but he's still working this very morning in hearts and lives. And I'm telling you, he'd like to work in yours this morning. Have people sitting right here in this service. Your heart is full of trouble. Your heart is full of strife. Your life is full of misery because you've shut out the Prince of Peace from your life. But if you'll open up your heart to him this morning, I'll tell you what Jesus will do. He'll bring peace to that soul of yours and speak peace to your heart this morning. You can walk away from here with the Prince of Peace seated on the throne of your life. He'll transform you and begin to work on people around you through your life. Oh, that baby born 2,000 years ago still has power to transform your life. Transform your family. Transform your community. Praise God. And oh, that every soul in this place would realize how valuable Jesus is. Sister Judy, if you would come to the piano this morning. We're going to give an altar call for anybody here that would like to give their heart to Jesus and be saved this morning. My wife got saved. Surprised she hadn't already jumped up and told it, but she got saved on Christmas Day, 1976, we had a car accident, and we were going to the airport. She was going to catch an airplane, fly home from Alabama, and had a car accident. My wife was raised in church and prayed around the altars all of her life and thought she was saved, or at least made a pretense of it, like a lot of people raised in church. When we had that car accident, she came face to face with eternity. She said, I'm not ready to meet God. And so that very day, we gathered around my parents' living room after they picked us up from the hospital. My wife knelt at the couch. She said, God, I'll live for you now. And God saved her just in a moment of time. Gave her that wonderful peace and joy. When you find that peace, you'll always be able to point back to that place, that time, that day when God rolled the burden of sin away and saved your soul. And there may be somebody in this service this morning, you've never experienced the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And Jesus wants to give it to you. That's why He came into this world. Let's stand together. While we wait a few moments here in this altar service, is there anybody who would like to give their heart to Jesus?